Happy New Year.
I bet nobody has said that to you today, have they? We are indeed delighted that you are here as you have come on this first day of 2017 to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Let me call a few announcements to your mind. One, next Sunday, the cantata that we had scheduled earlier will be presented during our morning worship time. So I hope you'll note that and invite folks to come and be with you on that day and make an effort to be here to honor the hard work that has been done by several of our choirs as they'll be presenting that for us next Sunday. There are several sign-ups that need your attention. If you're going to eat with us this Wednesday night, there's a sign-up there for that. Also, I have just replaced the blood drive sign-up that is this Friday. If you could help us give blood, that would be a tremendous assistance if you would sign up for that as well. I would appreciate your help with that. You'll note that our programs start back this Wednesday. The choirs, Mission Friends, all of those begin in earnest this coming Wednesday. We look forward to having things kind of get back to normal after we have enjoyed a wonderful time of holiday and being with family and those sorts of things. So we appreciate your help in that regard. Any other announcements that need to come before us today? Then as our instrument plays, would you take a moment to center your spirit as we prepare to worship? Last Sunday, we celebrated your advent, your coming into this world. Today we welcome a new year. It is appropriate for us to think for a moment today, O Lord, about how last Sunday and this Sunday connect. And so now, on this our first Sunday of worship in this new year, may we continue to proclaim that you have come into this world. May we continue to proclaim you have come into our lives. And may you control us and use us for your kingdom. God, our mission today is to praise your name, to worship you, to honor and adore you, to lift your name above every name, to express to you in our thought and in our action and in our worship how much we love you. Would you receive it now? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
It's appropriate that what is front and center today is our communion table. And as you sing the songs today, sing them prayerfully as we sing. We have come into his house. 361.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. Father, as we start a new year, I pray that you might lead, guide, and direct us as a church and as individuals to go out and be the disciples that you would have us to be. Father, be with those that are sick, those that are hurting, those that are healing, those that are less fortunate than we are here today. Father, we ask that you bless these tithes, these offerings, so that you might give us wisdom to use them to further your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
pretty, wasn't it? And so are you guys. Well, Christmas is come and gone. Has Mom been packing up stuff?
Already done
that. But you know what? Something we don't want to put up. We don't want to put Jesus up, do we? That means we want to keep him in our heart, doesn't it? Because Christmas is not over, is it? So keep Jesus in your heart. Don't put him away. Keep the joy of God's gift in your mind and in your heart. Well, New Year's sort of like starting out a puzzle. I've got this maze here. It's sort of a puzzle. When you start this puzzle, this maze, you look at the word start, and you try to find a clear path, don't you? You can't cross any lines, and you go through there. Sometimes it's kind of difficult. It gets kind of frustrating when you run into a line and you can't get out. You have to erase and go back and forth. Sometimes you have to change directions, don't you? And sometimes you might even have to ask for help, haven't you? You might even have to ask for help because it's kind of hard. But if we work on it and we work on it and we get through all the way down to finish, we feel pretty good, don't we? We feel like we've accomplished something, right? Well, if we have time, I'll give you one of these copies when we get through here so you can try to work on this puzzle, all right? Today, we said, is the first day of the new year, 2017. That's impossible, isn't it? But, you know, it's good to think about that today because I know, that God has a path or a plan for each of us. He has a plan in mind for each one of us. Now, we're all different, aren't we? So our plans are different. We're not the same. God has a plan just for you. He wants us to reach that goal, that plan, but he knows we can't do it by ourselves. You know, we said we might need some help with the puzzle. Well, we might need some help with our plan in life, too, our journey. It's a journey. And you've just started out on your journey as a person. And as we face each day, it's something like a maze. We have to back up sometimes. If we go in the wrong direction, we have to say, whoops, I messed up, I need to back up. Some of the plans that you might have right now might be things for the new year, like maybe be more respectful to my parents. It might be maybe be more kind to people. It might be make better grades, some things like that. Everybody's different. Well, you know, in our plan, if we mess up, and in our goals, we might have to change directions too, haven't we? We might have to say, uh-oh, I messed up, and start all over again. Is that okay? That's fine, isn't it? We also might need some help. And who are we going to get our biggest help from? God, that's right. He's there every day to help us. He's there. All we have to do is ask him. It's not going to be easy. If you decided you're going to be more kind to people, it's going to be hard because sometimes people are hard to be kind to, aren't they? So we're going to have to ask for help. We're going to have to pray. We're going to ask God to help us with our path, with our plan, because he wants us to accomplish it. And remember, you're not like everybody else, so don't try to follow somebody else's path. That's just too hard. It's your path, and God will help you figure out what that path is as you travel through life. And if you make mistakes, just start over again. I've got one small passage I wanted to read to you. I really like this one. It's from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And it's when God was talking to his people. It's very short, but it means so much. Verse 21 says, "Whether you turn to the right or whether you turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying," now this is the important part, this is what the voice says, "this is the way, walk in it." And that was God talking. This is the way, walk in it. Does God want us to walk in his way? Yes, he does. And how are we going to find out what that way is? By reading this book and asking God to help us. And, of course, adults can help you too. So last one, this is the way, walk in it. Okay? Let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for having a plan for us. We pray that we can listen and hear that plan and follow that plan. Help us and guide us each day and bless these children as they start out on their journey. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you for coming. Here's your...
So that God's kindness will increase? That's unthinkable. As far as sin is concerned, we have died. So how can we still live under sin's influence? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When we were baptized into his death, we were placed into the tomb with him. As Christ was brought back from death to life by the glorious power of the Father, so we too should live a new kind of life. If we've become united with him in a death like his, certainly, we will also be united with him when we come back to life as he did. We know that the person we used to be was crucified with him to put an end to sin in our bodies. Because of this, we are no longer slaves to sin. The person who has died has been freed from sin.
What a powerful scripture. Thank you. I invite you to open your prayer list. I want to give you a couple of names and some updates and add some names. We will be remembering the family of Tommy George. They are friends with some in our church, and we want to keep that family lifted up. Difficult times. Also, I've added the name of Dot Harrell and family, that you would remember them in your prayers. And then just very recently, two of our church family members have gone into the hospital. Miss Athlyn Walker is in Central Carolina Hospital. Athleen has become became severely dehydrated. And, they're running some tests, but right now the family's requesting no visits, but would ask that you keep them lifted up in prayers. And then last night at 9 o'clock, Debbie Hurley also went to Duke to the hospital and is currently a patient there. Debbie has had a very difficult last couple of weeks. We want to keep her. They also asked for no visits, but asked that we would keep them lifted up in our prayers. It's a new year. It's a new time. Paul understood what it was to deal with folks like you and me. I'm never difficult, are you? We are, aren't we? Sometimes difficult. The church at Corinth had challenged Paul on many different areas, from his appearance, from his sermon delivery, from his theology. At times he was pretty strong in his replies. And at times his pastoral heart would sometimes lead them to different theological truths. And one of the great theological truths, you'll recognize many familiar points in our text today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to start kind of, he really starts, I guess we should start, let's do it. If we should, we should, right? Let's start with verse 11. But I'll put the text down at verse 13 through 19. But we're going to hear some powerful truths. You'll hear a little bit of his frustration with the church at Corinth in the first part. But then you'll understand that pastoral heart and that theological truth that he gives us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to begin to read in verse 11 and read through verse 19. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of this portion of God's word. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it's known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and about what is in the heart. And now our text. For if we are beside ourselves, I love that statement, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Remember that. Because we have concluded this, that one has died, that's Christ, has died for all. Therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who might live no longer live for themselves, but for him, for whom their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Remember that. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come, and all this is from God, and through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Remember that. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, we have mentioned families that are grieving. We have mentioned people who are dealing with illness and sickness. We have prayed for ourselves. We have sung that we have gathered here to worship you. And hopefully we sang that unto you. And we are mindful that the table that is before us is your table. And the meal that is before us is your meal. And it is a meal of grace. It is a meal of hope. It is a meal of reconciliation. It is a meal of new creation and newness in life. Thank you for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last Sunday morning, as we gathered for the Moravian Love Feast here on our worship time, we had an interesting setup on our communion table. We had the Advent wreath, and we lit the Christ candle, and we had the Nativity. We had baby Jesus, and Mary, and Joseph, and an angel. And now, the first Sunday of the new year, you know what's under the cloth, right? It is another meal. A meal that is different from the meal we celebrated in fellowship last Sunday as we proclaimed the Lord has come. Today, the meal that we shall share, and we invite all baptized believers to join in this meal when we share it in a few moments. It's a meal of remembering the broken body and the shed blood. The body that was broken because of your sin and my sin. And the blood that was shed to wash your sin and my sin away. The same thing, only different, isn't it? The same thing as last week when the candles were lit. You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And the baby child. When the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And today, this meal. Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and drink. This is my blood, and I shed it for you, Jesus said. It's kind of ironic because we often think of the new year as a baby. Do you see any of those, 2017 in the diaper? You see any of that? And yet for us, we ended last Sunday with the baby. Something old, today we celebrate the old communion, the Lord's Supper. If you're as old as I am, you've done it many times. In some church traditions, they do it every Sunday to remind us something old and something new. Today, as we begin a new year, it's that time when we often stop and pause and begin to think about those changes we need to make. I asked you earlier, were you ever difficult? You said no. Well, you didn't really say no. Let me ask this question. Are there any things that if we were to be willing to change them, we might be a better disciple, a better follower of Christ. And if we're a better follower of Christ and we believe our faith, that would make us a better person, a better husband or wife, son or daughter, friend, co-worker, schoolmate. Paul, in this little passage, as he's trying to love his congregation in Corinth, gives us three insights of how something old could become something new. Of how some changes in maybe some things we have been doing, and maybe those things, even though they have not been all they needed to be, maybe God can build on them in this new year, at this new moment. You're going to hear us talk an awful lot about March 12 through 15. Anybody know what's going to happen March 12 through 15? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Don't be ashamed. Raise it if you know what's going to happen. Revival is coming to Flat Springs Baptist Church on March 12 through 15. I hope it gets here first. I hope it starts today. Wouldn't that be great? I don't think we have to wait till March, do you? Revival. God doing something in us and through us and with us and for us and by us that only He can do. Those truths that Paul gives us first is, how do we see ourselves? Are you and I, as he says in verse 14, under the control of Christ's love? Now, when I moved here 12 years ago, I still had one bird dog. My granddaddy was a bird hunter, and so I guess I got it naturally. And really, all of my adult life, until probably the second year I was here, and would try to bird hunt. Now, let me just tell you, there are bird dogs, and then there are bird dogs. Okay? There are bird dogs. I have hunted with some of the best bird dogs. I could tell you stories of what I have seen bird dogs do that would amaze you. And some of you are saying, I hope this is not going to be a long illustration that the pastor has today. But it is, so just bear with me. Well, the best dog I ever hunted with, his name was Sue. When I got a puppy, I named it Sue, just hoping it might rub off. It did. But I was hoping. You see, I've always had mediocre dogs, marginal dogs. Okay, lousy dogs. Now, a good bird dog only does a few things. And in the unlikely event that there's some of you that don't know what bird dogs do, let me share with you what that is. The first thing he has to do is hunt. He has to have a hunting spirit. He has to have a desire to go out. And very quickly, dogs learn where birds usually are. And they figure that out and they hunt because that's the way the Lord made them. When they find the birds, they have to point. That means they have to stop. They cannot move a muscle. It must be over. The moment that nose tells them there is a bird in the vicinity, a good bird dog stops. And some of them are stylish. Some of them have that tail straight up and they'll pick that paw up. You've probably seen calendars of good bird dogs. And it's a beautiful thing. And it thrills you if you love to bird hunt. It thrills you when you see your dog locked down on a point. The other thing they have to do, if they see another dog pointing, they have to honor that point. They may be further out. They haven't smelled the birds yet, because dogs point when they smell, but they also have to point when they see another dog. They have to honor that. We call it backing or honoring a pointing dog, so they don't get too close, because the birds become nervous. Aren't you glad you came to church today? You are going to know something about bird hunting when you leave today. When that dog is pointed at those birds, they're a little bit nervous. And if the other dog comes in too fast with nervous birds, they won't sit. And so as soon as that dog sees, he has to honor. He has to honor. Remember that word, honor, that point. He has to stop. And then you want him to bring the bird back if you knock down a bird. And then there are a few other things you want him to do. That you want him to come when you tell him to come. You want him to stop and stay when you tell him to stay. My word was always, whoa, whoa. And I wanted him to stop and stay there. And then I wanted him to load himself in the truck when I got to the truck. And that's about it. That's about all a bird dog needed to do. Hunt, point, honor, retrieve, come, stay, and load. Not too much. And if you got a dog that would do that and do that, listen to this word, consistently. Consistent. Do that every time. Do that over and over again. Do that in such a repeatable pattern that you knew it. I had all kind of dogs. I had dogs that would point turtles. That's embarrassing if you're a bird hunter. I'm just going to tell you. You're there. You're all excited. You're waiting, and all of a sudden, fella says, "Look, I see a turtle." Well, I've had dogs that would get angry when they went to get the bird if another dog got in the neighborhood. I've had dogs that would listen as long as they were so close, but when they got a little bit beyond where they thought my control was, they suddenly went deaf. You ever had a dog go deaf on you? Couldn't hear what you were saying, wouldn't listen to anything you said. I had an interesting thing on occasions where I would be invited to go with someone, and I didn't know what kind of dog they had. They didn't know what kind of dog I had. You want to go bird hunting? Absolutely. Let's get together this Saturday. And we go. And immediately you realize they've got a good bird dog, and you've got a marginal bird dog. And I'm being kind when I use the word margin. Well, why did I tell us all that story? Paul says in verse 14, did you read it? For if we are beside ourselves, I'm in verse 13. If we are beside ourselves, it's for God. If we're in our right mind, it's for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Now, what they tell me about dogs is dogs want to do what their master wants them to do. So sometimes with a marginal bird dog, you may question that theory. Because it seems like they want to do what they want to do. But sometimes we say, a good bird dog's under control. He's under control. He'll do what his master tells him. When his master tells him to stop, he'll stop. When he tells him to come, he'll come. When he tells him to load, he'll load. When he tells him to hunt, he'll hunt. The love of Christ controls us. The love of Christ controls us. As we examine last year and now on the first day of this year, could we, and don't say it to anybody, just in your own heart right now, in this moment, could you answer this question? How much was I fully under the control of my master? Was I a good Christian? Or a marginal Christian? Did I point sometimes? Did I come sometimes? Did I honor sometimes? But not all the time. Maybe the word God would give us this day for this year would be consistency. To be the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, in season and out of season, to be ready to do good works. Revival is when people allow God to have control of their life. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's all it is. That's what revival is. And when you say, Lord, for me to live is you. For me to rise up today is you. For me to go out today is you. For me to talk today is you. For me to love today is you. For me to treat people who treat me badly is for you. And if you do that, brothers and sisters, we'll do it differently. Do we come when God calls? Do we honor the things that God's honor? Are we pointing our lives at the thing God wants us to point? No turtles, just birds. Do we retrieve the things that God would have us. When he tells us to stay, are we willing to stay? When he tells us to go, are we willing to go? And when he tells us to load, whatever that looks like, are we willing to jump? The second point Paul teaches us is how we see others. Look at verse 16 with me very quickly this morning. From now on, I love that word. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. No longer according to worldly standards. Oh, church, don't we struggle with this? No longer by selfish standards. When I see you not asking, what have you done for me lately? Not that way. Judging each other based on what we do or what we can provide. The old way was seeing things according to the flesh. The new way is to see people who are created in the image of God, who need to be reconciled to God. I think one of the biggest problems that you and I face in America today is that we no longer see people needing a Savior. We simply see them as making different choices. Have you noticed that? How often have you watched something on TV and they've talked about how they want to bring in all kind of faiths. They want to bring in everyone. I've seen commercials this Christmas of the two faiths kind of coming together. The priest and the leader of the mosque, the imam. I remember reading a short story, and I remember hearing other stories about this same vein. Now, you got to stay with me for my last point when we talk about not only how we see ourselves under God's control and see others as not according to the flesh, but as folks created in the image of God needing to be reconciled. The last point we're going to talk about is what's our purpose. But before I do that, I've got to address that problem, I think, that we see that if our neighbors aren't coming to church, it's not their bad people. They're okay. They just made a different choice than we have. They just made a different decision. And everybody's entitled to their own understanding. And that is our secular way. And I guess as far as secular ways go, that's okay. But that can't be okay for you and for me. That just can't be okay. I remember reading a story, I think when I was in college. The Lady or the Tiger by Frank Stockton. You ever read that story? I won't give you all the details. It's a lady that gets caught between whether she's going to give her future, the man she loves, either to a tiger or to a woman she can't stand. That's her choice. It's kind of lousy, isn't it? But why I want to say that is, in the story, there was a tradition in this kingdom that if you were a crime and they weren't sure whether you were guilty or not, they would put you in this arena and there were two doors. And you chose which door you wanted to open. Behind one door was one that the king had decided was a lady that he felt would be your life's mate, and that would be the law of the land. You would marry that woman and you would be off of whatever the crime was. And that they figured the gods must have figured it out, and you went off and lived happily ever after. You chose the lady. But behind the other door, there was a ferocious, full-grown, hungry tiger. And if you opened that door, that's why they had you in the arena, where everybody else was up, above a 20-foot wall. Because that tiger was about to have a meal. And they figured you must have been guilty. And you got what you deserved. Why do I tell us that silly story? Because that's kind of like it is with choices. And sometimes we've said that all the doors are ladies, or freedom, or happiness. And there are no tigers. Brothers and sisters, if our Bible is true, they're tigers. Choices matter. Heaven is real and hell is real. And choices matter. And the decisions that we make matter. and not always lead to the kingdom. Like that maze that was just shared with the children. Martha reminded us not always lead to where we want to be. There are roads that might look good and might go a ways. And I hate those mazes. You ever been on one of those mazes? When you get all the way to the end to find that last little spot. I mean, you're just that far. And there's that wall that you've got to backtrack out. Because you can't get there from there. How we see others matters. If we see people who live next to us is okay, if we don't think they need our Lord, if we don't believe they need salvation, then we won't share God's salvation with them. We'll just love them where they are and treat them like good folks. And let them make their choices. It brings me to the last point this morning. How we see our purpose, and that is one of reconciling others to Christ. Look with me for just a second at verse 18. And this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. What does that mean? He's given us the gospel. He's given us the message. He's given us the hope. He's given us the right door. He's given us the right way. He's given us the right choice. And he wants us to share it. He wants us to give it to others. He wants us to go to our neighbors, to our schoolmates, to our co-workers and tell them that Jesus loves them and Jesus can make a difference. How can we do that? First, we've got to be reconciled ourselves. Are we good Christians? Are we good disciples? Are we marginal? Are we consistent? Secondly, we've got to pray. I've been reading a book recently, and it's reminded me of those old great awakenings. And they always began with prayer. Do we want revival? I hope you're praying for revival right now. I hope you're praying for God to do something in your life first, to reconcile you, as I pray for God to reconcile me. And pray not by the minimum standard, but by the standard of one that is consistently under the control of God's love, and then finally to share that with others. We're going to be talking a lot about sharing. We're going to be talking a lot this year about what we need to do to carry the gospel from this place that God has blessed us with, called Flat Springs Baptist, to a world that is hurting, to a world that's lost, to a world that needs the Lord. I believe revival is possible. I believe revival is possible in our nation. I believe revival is possible in our church. I believe revival is possible in my life. And I'm excited about that reality. But I know this. There may be some old things, some old ways of doing, some old thoughts, some old attitudes, some old that need to become new. That need to become new. How about you? For we see ourselves under the love of Christ in his control. We regard people not according to the worldly way, but by our gospel way. And we realize we've been called to share with them. You and I have been called to share the good news. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in just a moment our choir will sing of your grace. And then we shall come to this table and shall partake of your grace. Would you give us a moment right now to prepare our hearts to confess to you, O God, those things that need to be confessed. And to give to you those things that need to be under your control, that we might receive the newness from this old communion service, that it might change us. In Christ's name we pray. appropriate to hear that song before we come to this table. We now come to observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper given to us to celebrate in memory of his broken body and his shed blood. They said that on a night before he was betrayed at the conclusion of the feast of the Passover, which he and his disciples were celebrating. He took bread, and having blessed it, he broke it and gave to his disciples, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Would you pray with me? Lord, on the first day of 2017, in just a moment, we will hold in our hands a piece of bread, and we will hear your word say, "This is my body, which is broken for you." May that connect to us in every way possible. In Christ's name we pray. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. But he that eateth this bread shall live forever. And on that same night, our Lord took a cup and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "This is my blood. I shed it for you." Would you pray with me? Lord, I remember your words. Greater love has no one than this, then they lay down their life for their friend. I thank you for your gift, for the blood that washes my sins away and allows me access into holy places. And I am so honored you call me friend. In Jesus' name. according to the law, I may almost say that all things are cleansed through the shedding of blood. And apart from the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus our Lord cleanseth us from all our sins. Our hymn of decision is page 375. Page 375. This morning you need to make some public decision. I invite you to do that. But may each of us, before we leave this worship center today, decide the old and the new and give ourselves to God as we stand together. Jesus would pray in agony. There Jesus would be arrested, betrayed by Judas Iscariot, carried before the Sanhedrin, then before Pontius Pilate, then before Herod, ultimately back to Pontius Pilate. There he would be condemned to die for no sin of his own. They would lead him out of Jerusalem to a place called the Place of Skulls, Golgotha, Calvary. And there they would nail our Christ to that cross. And there he would hang. And there he would pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not. They took him down. They placed him in the borrowed tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And that was the first day. And then the second day, our Lord was in the tomb. And then on the first day of the week, that first Easter Sunday, the women went to anoint his body. And the stone had been rolled away. And an angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. Brothers and sisters, that is our message. That is the ministry of reconciliation. That is the old, old story that changes everything. Would you join hands with the person I'd ask the diaconate to come and join me? Would you join hands with the person next to you? And as we end worship on the first day of the year, sing the hymn, Blessed Be the Time of Abundance.